For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome into another edition of the JMU Sports News Podcast. I am Bennett Conlin, joined by Daniel Merriman. This time, Jack is not here for this podcast, but Daniel was at the JMU football spring game, so we're going to talk to him all about that. Daniel, how are you doing?
I'm doing excellent today, Bennett. Glad to have you, and glad to see that Jack has taken a nice, well-deserved vacation.
Yeah, good for him to finally take one off. I feel like I'm always taking podcasts off.
But yeah, we're excited to fill in.
We're excited to have you on because you were actually at the spring game last weekend in Harrisonburg. 30-29, the offense beat the defense. What was sort of your initial takeaway just from finally seeing the Bob Chesney's Dukes in action for the first time?
My initial takeaway was that the energy is so incredibly different. Speaking with plenty of the media members who covered last year's spring game, I did not, but I was in attendance. They were like, "Yeah, it was almost a forced exhibition." Like Cignetti was like, "Oh, okay, I guess you all have to be here, sure." And this was much more of a welcoming vibe to it. There was tons of fans, frankly, a lot more than I was expecting, filled up a lot of the grandstand, which was incredibly nice to see. They played some pretty good football as well. There was no procedural penalties, and there was no fumbles on the day from the offense or defense. So defense not forcing any, not the best thing in the world, but the offense holding on to the ball was a big priority for them, and they absolutely did that. It was incredibly insightful to see some of the new freshmen and younger players who maybe didn't get a ton of burn in the Cignetti era or were newly recruited in the Bob Chesney era making impact plays all over the field. So it was a very fun day, lots of great insight, and tons of good things to come for the JMU.
A lot of football left, obviously, until they actually get to the season in terms of the summer workouts and then summer practices, all that good stuff. But early in spring, it seemed like, at least from what you were saying, the offense maybe a little bit ahead of the defense. The running game, the receivers seemed really impressive. What do you remember or what stood out about the sort of those skill guys? It seems like maybe finally the running game is going to take a huge step. I know we expected that last year and it never really came to fruition.
The running game was mega impressive. I think the key to that is the offensive line. Last year, JMU had a ton of returners come on the offensive line, and we were expecting them to be, possibly a top 25 group in the nation. They were really hyped up preseason. And while they were good, there was some injuries that hit them, especially towards the latter half of the season. But throughout the entirety of the season, aside from Bucknell, their run game was atrocious. So to see the run game starting to develop from the O-line and absolutely with the running backs making plays was a sight for sore eyes. Adaye is an incredibly explosive power back. He has one of the best changes of speed and quick first steps I've seen in a JMU uniform in a while. His 0-60 is ridiculous. He can really get up and start moving in a second. So it was lovely to see him bouncing through the A-gap and then say, "Ooh, I need to make this cut and get moving to the outside." He was beating linebackers and getting past the outstretched hands of defensive linemen. He's really compact. He's not the heaviest guy in the world, but he's listed at about 5'7 or 5'8, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he is a bowling ball when it comes to like no one can really wrap their arms around him. He was really, really fun to watch. Caught a couple of passes out of the backfield as well, which JMU utilized incredibly well last year with their running back room. I think this year it's going to be much more of a ground and pound style, because then you move to the backup, and George Pettaway, the transfer from UNC, was phenomenal. He had one of the only offensive touchdowns in the first half, I believe the only. There may have been some field goals and things of that nature, but he ripped off a 35-plus yard run, has incredible, again, change of pace, is really like disgustingly deceitful. He can really make a guy miss, and watching him work inside of the tackles was really fun to watch. he's going to be a stud. I think his ability to also stretch out into the pass game, catch a ball in the flat, and make a play in open space is going to be utilized greatly under Bob Chesney. And now there's a couple of other running backs that have hit the portal, and I think that's because they saw who the clear one and two were in the spring game.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, that's interesting. And Ade, you mentioned his size. I also did not realize he was 5'7". I knew he
Yeah,
was
he's
like
short.
kind of built, but that is very, very bowling ball, right? One of the guys who at the portal, Solomon Van Horst, they had listed at 5'8", and I think of him as like a very small running back. So Van Horst hit the portal, I think, surprised me a little bit. Who
Played
else
really
hit?
well in the spring game too. He had 30 plus yards of carrying in the first half.
Yeah.
Busted off a couple of nice ones. Sammy Malinagi is also
Yeah.
in the transfer portal, receiving work in the punt return and kick return game, I believe, as well. So those are two assets that definitely are going to be missed in the depth chart. But if they stay healthy, I don't think Petaway and Adai will have any issue carrying their load.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, Van Horst is one that I feel like I've hyped up for like five off seasons now, because he's got incredible ability when he's healthy to return kicks and do things as a receiver. He had 30 plus catches one season. So that one's definitely an interesting loss. But yeah, like you mentioned, if you have those two sort of feature backs that seem like they can be your guys, that makes a lot of sense. You've also got Wayne Knight in there and some other guys with some talent. So probably no concerns about running back. Seems like maybe that's a solid spot this year. Handing off to the running backs, Dylan Morris started out of the gate, Washington transfer. Kind of seems like he's QB1. Is there anything in the spring game that told you otherwise, or is it sort of Morris is the man to beat going into fall camp?
Until proven otherwise, Dylan Morris will be the starter day one in Charlotte. He looked really good. He made a couple of, again, bit of short dink and dunk type of passes, but was putting the ball in good places for receivers to make a play and keep running after the catch. His pocket awareness was really good. I believe he only got sacked once, maybe twice the whole day. And he very much understood kind of where his receivers were going to be good in space. This isn't the biggest wide receiver room in the world, and I think Morris understands that. So he puts a lot of balls like right on the numbers, so you can catch it and run with it. He looked incredible in the passing game, missed a couple of easy ones, but it's spring ball. He has barely started the past couple of years behind Michael Penix Jr. Makes a ton of sense that he's going to have a little bit of rust. I think you give him a full summer in this offense. Dean Kennedy is a wizard, so you will be fine there getting guys open and scheming people into space. I think he's going to be the quarterback one come the fall.
You wrote an article for JMU Sports News. You're talking that he was finding Cam Ross, the UConn transfer, as kind of that wide receiver one. What do you see from Ross and then maybe some of the other receivers? I know, was it Williams? I think Dylan Williams had a really impressive catch for a touchdown. Seems like he has a ton of talent as a true freshman. There's a lot of names at receiver who I feel like could earn legitimate snaps, which is exciting, coming off of a year right when Sproles, Reggie Brown, and Elijah Surratt are all no longer with the program, but maybe the Dukes are still pretty good at receiver.
Yeah, the receiver room seems to have a ton of unproven depth.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hunger in that room for snaps and a lot of guys that are getting better pretty much constantly. When you take a look at the freshman, Dylan Williams, who probably had the most standout day at receiver, he caught a very nice one-handed ball from Alonzo Barnett, about a 4-yard fade route, and just went up and over the top and mossed this kid. I don't know the cornerback that was guarding him. He made him look silly. Did the same exact thing in a compete period where he just went up and took it off the bucket of a kid's head. He's incredibly impressive as a jump ball receiver and apparently has been making consistently crazy catches throughout spring ball practice. Was talking to a couple of unnamed sources who referenced some pretty crazy catches he has made throughout the spring. So he's definitely climbing up Morris's favorite target list, because if you throw it anywhere in his vicinity, he's going to catch it. He has huge hands. He has a phenomenal frame. I stood next to him in the post game interview, which Chesney let him talk in, by the way. Let's not
Yeah.
let that go unmistaken. That takes a lot of trust for an early enrollee freshman to say, "Yeah, you're good to go and speak with them." Because that's maturity, that's communication, and that's also the ability to know your stuff within this offense. He seems like an absolute sponge, is working super hard every day. I mean, all a 6'1", 195. He is, in due time, I don't know if it'll be this season or next, will be one of JMU's feature offensive pieces. He's legit.
Yeah, that's a
And
great
yeah,
point of.
to
Sorry,
go
go
along
ahead.
with that, Cam Ross as well. The wide receiver one for the day, I think pretty
Yeah.
clearly. He had a bunch of really nice, again, middle of the field catches, can really secure anything that gets put with him, has a super nice route tree, can just break guys off at the top of the route and feels very Surratt-esque, where it's like, ooh, put
Yeah.
him on a slant. He's 7 yards, guaranteed. But he's also a really good deep ball threat, which is nice. He's a little bit shorter. I think he's about 5'10", but still makes pretty solid plays well above his height. And I think Tashi Hudson is wide receiver two right now. And a couple of other names to monitor. Max Moss has been looking really good in practice as well. He was a freshman that caught a touchdown in JMU's first game up against Bucknell and got spot minutes here and there throughout the fall last year. And I also think Jaden Mines has gotten a lot of spring ball hype. I think this is like the second or third year he's gotten some spring ball hype. So take it with a grain of salt, but he
Yeah.
sounds like he's been having good practices as well.
He's been cooking the last few springs. I feel like Jaden Mines is getting closer to getting some game day reps. And then of course,
Boga.
Jack, yeah, Jack's guy, Omarion Dollison. Can't
Yeah,
forget about
OD.
him. So
That's the
a lot of
speedster out of the
options.
backfield.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun and see what Dean Kennedy does. Because again, Jack mentioned it. You can't use that speed and just let it sit on the bench.
Right.
He's going to find some jet sweep, some end around, something or another. I mean, they were running trick plays all day. There's a couple flea flickers. Taji Hudson threw a 35-yard pass to Taylor Thompson. They had two wide receiver passes in the spring game. Completed like completed some pretty nice balls too. I think, oh, I forget who the second one was. Desmond Green, I think, threw the other ball, which was just real fun to see. But yeah, I remember watching some Holy Cross film and going, oh, they're a little crazy. Nice.
Yeah, it also seems like Chesney has a good feel, like you mentioned at the beginning, of like, hey, fans are coming to watch the game, so like, let's make it entertaining. Where you mentioned Cignetti, maybe some other eras are kind of. The spring game is all about, developing talent or whatever, and there's maybe not as much of the entertaining aspect. Chesney seems like he kind of gets the whole engage with the community deal, which seems like it could be a ton of fun for fans, especially if they keep winning the way they have.
Yeah, I saw Cignetti took a knee in the spring game. That was awfully
I
fun in
did
Indiana.
I did see that. Yeah, he was taking it seriously there, the need to run out
Hey,
the clock. Yeah, that was
they
awesome.
need to practice a victory formation. They've never done it before, so I
That's
get
I saw a
it.
lot of those comments too.
But yeah, it was really fun to see just Chesney interacting with the fans. They really are looking like they're going to try and make a day out of this because there was baseball right afterwards. They ended up winning and sweeping against Georgia Southern later that evening. I got to go to that game as well. JMU baseball on a heater after losing to Maryland yesterday, though.
Yeah.
That's sad. But regardless, they really tried to emphasize that, hey, this is going to be an entertaining fan-filled day. They had a nice tailgating crowd in the morning, put up some pictures on our social media about that. It was some pretty solid crowds. Throughout the game, they had a couple of compete, quote unquote, compete periods that were really fun to watch. There was the big man catch drill where Emmanuel
Yeah.
Bush took one to the house. Catches a punt from Ryan Hansen and is rumbling and bumbling down the middle of the field. Does a nice little flip into the end zone. That was quite fun. And Jesse Ramil caught a bottle as well. They had some 1v1s in terms of DB and receiver. Mentioned that earlier with Dylan Williams. And then offensive line, defensive line. And those were pretty insightful to see some of the D linemen that are cooking. So
Yeah.
yeah, throughout the day, they were really interactive. Harry O'Kelly got on the mic later
Yeah.
in the fourth quarter. Bob Chesney said, hey, we're running QB power here. And JC Evans runs QB power at like the 7 yard line. Still got like 4 yards after he announced it to the defense, which was quite cool to see. But yeah, they were very much having a good time talking on the mic. Chesney's right behind the offense, screaming, waving, motioning guys through. So they really did have a good time. It was fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's different for sure. I'm excited to see how it translates. You mentioned Emmanuel Bush, who had the sort of the fun moment in the big man catching competition. Also seemed like he got a lot of praise for his play, which could be particularly important with Tyreek Tucker in the transfer portal. What are we looking at? Interior defensive line seems like Bush and maybe some other guys, but losing Tucker is certainly one that caught me a little bit off guard and a tough loss because he's pretty good, especially given his age.
Yeah, Tucker's a big loss, especially if you could have kept him for a year or two. That's an all Sun Belt caliber type of guy. He learned behind James Carpenter, and you could see it even as a redshirt freshman. He was plugging A gaps, even had some nasty pass rush moves. He was really good on the inside. So sad to see him go. Best of luck wherever he transfers to, except for Liberty. But other than that offer, I'll be okay. In all seriousness though, Emmanuel Bush had a really nice day. It was fun watching him plug the interior line. And I think also a name to watch out for, Michael McMullen. He had a
Mm-hmm.
sack in the first offensive series against the starting O-line, one of the few that they let up on the day. And he looked pretty good throughout the entirety of the afternoon. He, alongside with a mentioned name on the podcast, Darryl Deneau, I believe is how you pronounce it.
Yeah, I think we slowly got there last time.
We slowly got there. He made some impressive plays. Excited to see how some other guys like DJ Cotton, I believe Zay Roberts is an interior guy as well. He played pretty well. So there's some names to monitor there. Definitely not the strongest unit on the team. I think I can say that comfortably. Wouldn't be surprised though if Bush had a pretty good year. He looked really trim in comparison to when he came over from Marshall, which is a theme I've seen from a lot of the guys. They're getting in really good shape. Apparently Novak has put them through their paces this winter, which is really nice to hear. Yeah, there's bunches of guys that either had trimmed down some unnecessary body fat or have put on like lean muscle that have been really impressive.
That's awesome. Yeah, you love to hear that. The strength coach coming from Michigan State was an impressive snag that I did not expect in the offseason, but that was a really good one. I think for me too, the other thing that's kind of stood out reading some of your spring game stuff is the amount of like redshirt freshmen and true freshmen getting mentioned, which is kind of, I guess, happens in spring games. But it does feel like now that Jamie's moved to the Sun Belt, the level of high school recruiting, I know we talk so much about the portal because it's so active. The high school recruiting feels like it's just head and shoulders of above kind of what it's ever been at JMU. Does that sound right to you in terms of the level of talent where you've got guys who are freshmen and redshirt freshmen who might actually play some meaningful snaps this year?
I definitely think that can be said. Caveat, I am a younger JMU fan. If you go back to classes pre-2015 or so, I'm not going to have a singular clue what you're talking about in terms of recruiting. So take it with a grain of salt. But in the current years of what I've watched, I believe that this is probably one of the better, if not best, classes that the JMU program has brought in, which is incredibly impressive considering half of them got poached to Indiana or decommitted. So let's again, this was on a very limited timeline. Some really impressive standouts from the underclassmen actually came in the secondary. We know about the outsides with Pons and Logan, but the safety spot had a couple of guys really flash. A name to watch out for, Evan Spivey, had a pass breakup, a couple of nice tackles, and was really solid in coverage the whole day. He's listed at 6 foot, about 180, 185, somewhere in there, so has some solid size. I would not be surprised to see his name appear on a depth chart come the fall. He played really well, and Chesney actually shouted him out and said something stood out to him, even just on the sideline, which is really good news. Some more names in that secondary, true freshmen, Chase Regan and KJ Flo. Chase got raving reviews from Bob Chesney saying that, hey, he was quarterbacking that defense out there. Like, he's making some calls as to what run gaps to fill and came down on a couple of run plays and stopped guys on the outside and was the first line of defense. He wasn't always finishing the tackles, but he was certainly putting a man to body. He was getting around the quads, getting around the legs, trying to wrap guys up. So that was always good to see. His speed has been highly touted. Our Duke's recruits, Ben Hofer, has been raving about Chase for months, and I absolutely see why. He has a great build, and is going to make some plays, I think, this coming fall. He's the one guy in the secondary I could see truly having a breakout summer camp. Because we also have to remember he played receiver this past year, and was a really nice two-way piece up in Pennsylvania. So now he gets to focus just on the defensive side of the ball, having seen what it's like to be a receiver and how you can run these routes and how you can, kind of gauge how to get open. So he's seen that both ways, and I think that'll be a massive help to him come this fall. KJ Flo as well made some nice tackles. He's a really highly touted guy out of Charlotte, I believe. And the two of them were playing a lot of what looked like second, borderline third string minutes, which, considering they've just gotten here only a couple months ago, is really impressive.
Yeah, especially you add in right a little more off-season workouts, things like that. That'll be fascinating. So that's the position I'm still a little bit terrified of. I know we've got the young freshman talent. Do you think they do anything in the portal at safety to add some more veterans? It kind of seems like Jacob Thomas is like locked in as a starter. Is that accurate?
Yeah, he seemed to have had a really good offseason. He's been dialed into film from what I've understood. And Coach D. Mike, the safeties coach and recruiting coordinator, who is a absolutely crazy, awesome human, has so much energy. He must be on like 2 grams of caffeine a day. I have no idea how he keeps it up. But yeah, him and Jacob have seemed to have gotten a really good connection, and he seems to be penciled in for a starter in the fall, which makes sense. He started next to Francis Meehan a lot of last season. But I would not be surprised to see Chesney delve into the portal for a safety. I'm also gonna be a little cautious in saying that because I don't know how many guys are gonna leave. We know that there's been a couple on the D line, couple at running back, which I think D line will they will attack someone in the portal. I wouldn't be surprised if they go for some older wide receivers in the portal. And then I think safety and possibly some corner depth is where like that's like the second or third kind of priority for me in terms of portal gets. So I'm optimistic that he will go out and get someone. I don't know if they play right away, if it's a bit of like a development piece, because they seem to be very excited about what they have in the secondary, like especially on the corners, which makes sense. Pons and Logan have really kind of cemented their names in the houses of JMU around the country for pretty good play, honestly. I mean, towards the back end of the year, the secondary really stepped up. Losing Meehan, losing Remanique, losing Cheese Surratt, losing Chris Chukwuneke, who Jack doesn't know. A lot of guys. It's tough to recover from, I think, five seniors leaving the room. That's just a lack of leadership. At the end of the day, someone's going to have to step up. So we'll see. I definitely could see the portal getting targeted for a safety.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And then they've got Spence, I guess, coming from Holy Cross, who wasn't there for the spring game, but he'll be there in the summer, has a lot of experience playing corner. I think he could play safety too. It sounds like they're really good. Like, I know it's April, but like it sounds like they're really good. Is it fair to have like Sun Belt championship expectations in year one of Chesney, do you think?
I think the offense absolutely holds that bill. They could easily be, if not the best, one of the best offenses in the group of five. They look explosive. I have the utmost faith in Kennedy after listening to what some of the players have said about him, what some of the quarterbacks have raved about him. And I think the wide receiver group is just so hungry for snaps and for minutes that this summer they're going to get so much better. When there's so much like up in the air and open for grabs in terms of your playing time, guys just exponentially want to work harder because they think, oh, this is my opportunity. This is my chance. And when you have that with a bunch of young and talented guys that JMU recruited over the past couple of years, I mean, I didn't even mention Yamir Knight. In that, and he played significant snaps at slot this past year. That's another name in the depth chart that could be vying for playing time. So overall, I think the offense is absolutely going to hold up to the bill of Sun Belt Championship caliber. The defense, and in specific, the defensive line, I think the linebackers are going to be great. Dobbs Hendrick, Ray Scott, Torres Jones, and Gannon Weathersby have all sounded like they've had a really good spring. That makes tons of sense. I believe Torres is still recovering from what looked like an arm or elbow issue and injury. So again, hopefully he comes back. He was technically in the portal and then was listed on the spring roster. There's still a little bit of ambiguity there. He seems like he's going to play though. So whenever everybody gets healthy in that room, I think the linebackers are fine. Corners are fine. If no one gets hurt, there's not a lot of depth. And then safeties, you have Thomas, who again, we'll like to see what his play looks like, but it sounds like he's had a really good offseason. And then there's a question mark at the other safety spot and at a couple of the D-line spots. Eric O'Neill came up and talked to us in post game, one of the touted transfers from LIU. That was a defensive end and a defensive player of the year in his conference last year at the FCS level. And he spoke about Sam Daniels' impact and how much better that they have gotten, but how much better they need to get. So, and very much sounds like they're kind of aware that they want to hold the standard of the crazy defensive lines that JMU has had the past couple of years. We have been blessed with just talent after talent after talent. I mean, you think about it, even to the first year in the Sun Belt, you lose a couple of guys on the defensive line, and you're still the best D line in almost all of football. Like you're averaging, I don't know, like under 50 yards of rushing a game at one point. It was ridiculous. So it's going to be, I think, a little bit of a step back from that group just because the standard has been set so high. But D line and safety are my two question marks on defense that go, maybe they definitely have the upside and the possibility to be a Sun Belt champion. this offseason is going to prove a lot, and also the spring transfer portal is going to give us a big insight
Yeah.
into how likely that is going to be.
Fair. All right, we'll wrap up here quickly, but I do want to hit on special teams so I don't skip it. I think there's the expectation that Chesney's like a special teams wizard, so they'll probably have some fun stuff in terms of like punt block and return and all that good stuff. Ryan Hansen, one of the best punters in the country. I know Jamie fans like you don't want to see him all the time. You want to score a bunch of points. With the offense, it sounds like they might score a bunch of points, but Hansen's a great weapon. What's it going to look like at place kicker? I think, was it Nick Gonzalez maybe knocked one in at some point during the spring game? I guess they have Nick Gonzalez and Nathan Patterson are their two listed kickers. It seemed like Gonzalez is ahead there. Is there still some development? And I think they might have added that, they had a
Rojas.
UConn transfer.
Yeah, Rojas from UConn. The kicker spot is a big question mark because Nick Gonzalez got a 41 or 42 yarder somewhere in and around there. He made it. Everyone in the press box thought it was short. It was like a razor thin, just skimped over the bar. So again, seems very kind of Radke-esque, very accurate within 35. And then if you stretch him out to 40, 45, 50, that's where you get a couple of questions. There wasn't a ton of issues in terms of kickoff. They got it back within the five or in the touchdown area every time. It's not going to be a touchback every time. This level of college football just kind of doesn't have that. So it's definitely like kind of middle of the road from what I understand. I wouldn't be surprised if the UConn transfer comes in and he gives a really good battle for the starting place kicker job. And as you said, Hansen's going to be Hansen. I think they're also going to miss Caden Schickel, the long snapper that transferred to Michigan State. He was one of the main catalysts in what was frankly the probably the most steady special teams group that we had seen in a couple of years from JMU. Because Kyle Davis prior to him, excellent. So when you go now to Jack Mallory, who apparently shedded like 20 pounds in the offseason, he went from a listed 240 to 221. So former quote unquote five star long snapper, according to the Coles kicking camp, I believe. So it should be interesting to see if they can get this unit really locked in and working like a well-oiled machine. I think that kicker in terms of your special teams is gonna be one of your big question marks. I wouldn't be surprised if Chesney gets more and more aggressive with it as he gets into positive territory around that 45 to 40, simply because he may, again, speculation may not think he has the leg to get a kick in there. So that'd be my guess as to what specials look like. I also think that they're gonna have a really dynamic kick and punt return. It looks like Padaway could be in there, and there's also a couple of other guys that have thrown their hat around. I think Van Horst or Malinagi, one of the two, took kick returns as well, but now they're in the portal, so that'll give opportunity. And I think there's DJ Barksdale as well, who returned kicks last year. He's gotten some pretty high tout and recruit at the safety pos or report at the safety position. So I think that there's all types of opportunities there. But yeah, kicker is
Awesome.
probably my one question mark in terms of special teams.
Yeah, I'm a sicko, so I hope they keep struggling at kicker and they do what you say and go for it on a bunch of fourth downs, get really aggressive.
Oh, it'd be so much fun. I would be so here for it. It's fourth and six. Yeah, it's the 42. Let's go.
I think it'll be interesting. I think Chesney might be aggressive or at least more aggressive. I feel like Cignetti was pretty conservative in sort of like field goal situations a lot of the time the last couple of years, in part because of maybe the elite defensive line and things like that. But yeah, if you have some questions along the defensive line and safety and you feel like you trust your offense, it could lead to some very exciting in-game decisions from Chesney, which I think from a fan perspective is pretty great.
I'm really excited to see how Chesney coaches this team in terms of game time decisions. I think we're very used to the kind of just again steady state chunk plays here and there, but mostly shorter offensive repertoire that Cignetti brought. And Mike Shanahan was excellent. I think he's going to be well missed and going to be excellent at Indiana, but it's Dean Kennedy and Chesney are certainly going to hold a candle to what they do in much different ways, I think. If they get more aggressive with a little bit more shot plays and some more kind of explosive chunks, it sounds like that's what they want this offense to be. And they've built it around so much speed as well, which really helps. There's a lot of freak athletes on the outside in terms of receiver and a lot of really, really compact, churn of the legs type of guys at running back, which I think gives her some nice bursts into 10, 15, 20-yard chunk plays. So I'm going to be very interested to see what this offense looks like in a couple of months' time now.
Should be a lot of fun. Well, Daniel, thank you. That was a thorough spring game recap. I definitely kept you longer than I told you I would have, but thank you for the time and the insights as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Very happy I get to watch through and give a little bit of insight into what this team will look like in the fall. I think it's going to be a massive change year for JMU. There's always going to be growing pains with new coaches, and with so much roster turnover, there's inevitably going to be some hiccups along the way. But Chesney made it very clear in his post game, and I even asked him this. I said, "The college football playoff, that seems like your inevitable goal that's been discussed around by several of the players. What are you all doing to work on that?" And he said, "Well, you got to come out of this thing with a pretty unblemished record. And you have to understand that great defense, elite quarterback play, and winning tight ball games is going to be a non-negotiable." So they seem incredibly poised and ready to try and push this thing as far as it's going to go. And hey, if the formula looks anything like last year, they're going to have a real decent shot.
I love that. Gonna end it there. That's a heck of a mic drop. College football playoff contention on the radar for the Dukes.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.